Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I won't be long. I know y'all are thinking about cicada pizza now, so it's going to be hard to keep your attention for the next 2.5 hours here, but we'll do the best we can. Amen. Some of y'all are already packing up to leave. Not 2.5 hours. Won't be that long. But I think that cicada pizza was a couple hours away anyway. Y'all don't want to drive that far for lunch. So anyway, Lord's good. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Again, it's helpful, it's needful to look at Paul and his heart for the churches and his heart for the people. And Paul is a fairly good expression of the love of God, amen. Paul had his issues, and Paul struggled with the flesh. Paul talked about that, and oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said, after salvation. He didn't say, oh, wretched man that I was. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, because irregardless of what the devil wants you to believe, oh, wretched man that we are, amen. And then it's not just you, it's not just me, it's Paul. He was there in the same boat. He was battling with Paul. Two-thirds of his battles were with Paul. Peter had the same problem. And he realized that. And he realized that the brothers and sisters in Christ were fighting the same flesh. And Paul wanted to be a blessing and a help. And Paul had the heart of, again, an evangelist and a pastor. And Paul really, really loved the Lord. And you could tell how much Paul loved the Lord. If you were in Sunday school, this fits right into that, because you could tell how much Paul loved the Lord because how much he loved the brethren. And he had not just a head knowledge and a head desire of, but a heart's desire to see people flourish and prosper in Christ. He wanted to see other people bringing God honor and glory. It wasn't just about him and Timothy or his two or three people that he hung out with. It was about all the saved folks. He wanted everybody that was saved to be right. If they weren't right, get right, be in the will of God, and to glorify Jesus Christ. And that should be our heart's desire. And we'll look at some things by the grace of God today that I believe will help us. The Word of God will always help, amen. Let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you. And we thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the blood he shed on Calvary, your blood. The sin debt was paid there, Lord, our entire sin debt. We thank you for that. And we thank you for that victory over death, hell, and the grave. When he rose again, we could have that victory by trusting in Christ. Thank you for calling us, Lord. I'm not a Calvinist, but I do believe that no man comes to the Father except the Father come to him except the Father draw him. I believe you drew us, and I believe some men accept, some men reject. And I'm glad that you were merciful and long-suffering with me. And I'm glad that you were merciful to our church. And we've got a lot of saved folks that love you, that want to be more like you. And, Lord, I ask that you'd help us today to get closer to that goal, Lord. We want to be more like you. And Lord, we just ask that you'd bless the message, breathe on it, and change us for your honor and for your glory. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but with the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, and to the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon you. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet into Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come to you again, to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I might or may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it, the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That's a long passage through there we read, but there's a lot in there. I want to look at a few things by the grace of God today. Back in verses 3 and 4 of chapter number 1, it says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The first thing I want to look at is the purpose of suffering. Now, I understand that the devil causes suffering. I understand that a sin-cursed world has suffering. And God allows some of this stuff. He allowed it in the book of Job. He allows it today. And the reason He allows it, the purpose for that suffering, is that we be able to comfort one another when other folks are going through suffering. It's one thing to say, I understand what you're going through, and it's another thing to sit next to or sit down with or sit across from or stand face to face to somebody that's going through something that you went through and they've seen you make it through by the grace of God. It's another thing altogether to be able to say, I have been where you are. And it's another thing to say from the heart, I have been where you are. I know what you're going through. I have an idea, than to just say, I could not imagine what you're going through. He lets us go through some things so we can comfort one another. Amen. We learn how to comfort. We learn how to love. And another reason He lets us go through some things, the suffering, is to better know the God of all comfort. That's what we just looked at in verse 3. He is the God the Father. He is the Father of mercies. He is the God of all comfort. And we get to better know Him by going through some sufferings. And we see the purpose of that suffering is to get closer to God and to be able to be used more of God, to be a blessing and to minister one to another. Part of our ministering is God breaking us down and rebuilding us so we can be able to be an encouragement and a blessing to others. Amen? If He just took us the way we were, didn't change us, didn't care about changing us, didn't care about each other, didn't care about using us to be a blessing to each other, He'd just take us the way we are and He'd take us home. But He left us here for a purpose. We talked about this in Sunday school. It's not just so we can witness. It's so we can be a blessing to other people that are trying to witness. We can be a blessing to other people that are trying to live a life that glorifies God. We can be an encouragement. We can help somebody through a tough time. And if you trust God through the tough times, He will line you up with somebody that's going through similar situation that you will be able to help out. And it's actually Him doing it through us. But He's not allowed to do it through us like He wants to until we actually go through a similar situation. So the purpose of suffering is to get to be more like Jesus Christ and to be able to minister to one another. And then we see the partakers of the suffering in 5 through 7. He's saying that, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So there's a common suffering. We see the partakers of the suffering. It's God's people. God's people go through some suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen? The reason we don't suffer a lot of persecution is there's not a lot of godly living going on in the United States. Amen? We think suffering for the cause of Christ is somebody giving us a strange look when we hand them a piece of paper with the Word of God on it. That's not suffering in the Bible. That's having a bad moment, amen? Suffering is when you go through something and it really hurts you in your inner being, not because it's personal, not because, oh, well, they didn't accept me, but suffering is willing to sacrifice and get out there and do what God's called you to do at any expense. And sometimes it'll cost us something. But the partakers of the suffering are all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Philippians 3:10, Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. To get to know Christ, the partakers of the suffering are people that are wanting and desiring to get to know Christ. You ever prayed that prayer? Lord, I want to know You. Lord, I want to be more like You. We pray that in church often. We pray that God change us for Your honor and Your glory. We want to be more like You. He says, all right, hang on. You know what He's going to do? He's going to either put you through some things or allow the devil to put you through some things where you trust Him and get to know Him. It's one thing to know about Him, and it's a total different story to walk with Him and to get to know Him as a friend, as a daily Savior. He's not just the Savior of your soul. He's the Savior of your circumstances. He will bring you through whatever circumstances. We see the purpose of suffering, the partakers of the suffering. God's people will go through some suffering. And if they're trying to live for Christ, there's going to be suffering and persecution. And we see the pressure of suffering. Look at verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, the pressure of suffering. He said, immeasurable pressure. immeasurable pressure. And I'm telling you, there are things in this world that can give you pressure. There are things in this world that can cause you problems. You've got more debt than you do income, that can be a problem, amen? That can give some pressure to you. You've got more going out than you got coming in on the financial, and there can be some pressure involved in that. You've got deadlines to meet. You've got work-related things to do. There can be some pressure. But there's no pressure that can compare to the spiritual pressure when you're walking with Christ. That pressure can be immeasurable. Paul said, I can't even explain it. He said, I was pressed out of measure. He could not. He didn't even have anything to compare it to, the pressure that he'd been under. You ever been there? It's that spiritual pressure. And then he said, above strength, more than human strength can handle. You know why God allows that? So we'll get to Ephesians 6 and trust him in his strength. Amen. He taught Paul about Ephesians 6 before he penned Ephesians 6. Amen. He taught Job about Ephesians 6 before he penned Ephesians 6. He taught David about Ephesians 6 before he penned Ephesians 6. And he teaches us, even though we have it and read it, he teaches us by letting us go through some suffering. Spiritual pressure is intense. Immeasurable pressure. You look at MMA fighters, or you look at boxers, and what they'll do is they'll get out there and they'll stand face to face, and they will play this cat and mouse game, punching at each other, and what they do is they wait for one of them to start to wear down. And when they wear down, they identify that and say, boy, they're getting weak, they're getting slow, they're not on their game. Now that they've worn down, I'm waiting for them to make a mistake, and I'm going to capitalize on that mistake, and I'm going to take them out of this fight. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to us. He wants to stand toe-to-toe with us, and he wants to give us opposition. He wants to wear us down. And believe me, he knows you're wore down before you know it. Amen? And then he looks for you to make a mistake, and then he says, there's a mistake made. I'm going to capitalize on that, and I'm going to do everything I can to take them out. He will put immeasurable pressure on you. He will put things that are above your ability to withstand in your own strength on you, trying to take you out. And if you don't turn to God, you don't trust in his strength, the devil will succeed. Amen. We look around, and you can look around in any church in the world probably today and see seats that used to be filled that the devil said, you know what? I'm going to attack this person. I'm going to get them where they're weak and they're worn down. I'm going to wait for them to make a mistake, and I'm going to take them out. That's what he does. The purpose of the suffering, God's purpose, is for us to grow toward him, to trust in him, to be a blessing one to another. The partakers is anybody's going to live for the Lord. And the pressures of the suffering, immeasurable. The spiritual pressure is so intense, Paul said it, he thought he was going to die physically. Look what he said again there in verse 8 at the end. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now look, Paul actually was going to be killed sometimes. But sometimes the pressure can get so heavy you just feel like you're going to die. Now, I remember a preacher up north telling me a story of a guy who was a Navy SEAL. And I can't remember if he was pastoring a church or he was a missionary. I can't remember. I think he was pastoring a church. He got out of the military. He young man still. He was like in his 30s. And he was pastoring a church. And the church was growing and things were going good. And this guy had so much on his plate, so many different attacks going on, that he had called up a friend of this pastor that I know up north, and he told him he needed to talk to him. And when he went to talk to him, this grown Navy SEAL, 30, 35-year-old man, was in his living room on his couch, curled up in the fetal position, crying like a baby because of the spiritual pressure. Amen. You see, he had been trained to stand in the face of physical pressure. He had been trained to get past his fears when it comes to physical battle. But the only training we can have to make it through the spiritual battle is going through some suffering. Amen. Well, the devil apparently unloaded the whole wagon on this fella, and this fella's pride may have got him in trouble, because that's usually what gets us, amen. But he's on the couch in a fetal position, a grown man, crying and quit because of the spiritual pressure. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want to tell you about the trouble we went through. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. It's a normal thing to be in God's will and to be going through stuff like this. It's normal. The devil says it's abnormal. He'll tell you that. So if you're going through something like that, he wants you to quit. He'll say, God, you know, if you were in God's will, this wouldn't happen. The devil watches Joel Osteen, apparently, because he'll tell you stuff like that. If you were in God's will, you'd have $1 million and you'd have a new Jaguar and you'd have a mansion and you'd have a jet and you'd have 2 helicopters. But since you're suffering, it's because you're out of God's will. And the truth is, when you're right dead center in God's will, you're going to go through some suffering. And there's a reason God allows it. We talked about that. Because He wants you to know Him. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to lean on Him. He doesn't want you to have a superficial Christianity. We've talked about it before, that a man said one time that Christianity in 2020, I think it was, he said it's 1 million miles wide and 1 inch deep. God wants your Christianity to be about this wide and rooted and grounded in Christ. Amen. The pressures of suffering can be intense. Look at 9 and 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. We see peace in the times of suffering by trusting God instead of trusting self. If you're in the storm and you're trusting the Savior and not trusting self, you can have some peace. Amen. Because you know the Lord can calm the storm. You know the Lord can carry you through the storm. You know the Lord has a purpose for you on the other side of the storm. He says in verse 10 again, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. You can have peace in the time of suffering by trusting God instead of self. You can have peace in time of suffering by realizing He delivered you from death at salvation. He delivers you on a daily basis, and no matter what comes in the future, He will deliver you. One of these days, He's going to come back and He's going to deliver us from the world, from the flesh, and from the devil. The biggest enemy is going to be defeated on that day is us. Amen. Paul said, I trusted Him. He did deliver me, He does deliver me, and He will deliver me. And that's the way it is. You can have peace in a time of suffering because no matter what you're going through, the Lord will deliver you. And one of these days, He's going to deliver each and every one of us that have trusted Christ eternally. Amen. And you know what I believe? I believe He's going to knock the rearview mirror right out of our mind on the way up. The former things are going to be gone. There won't be any more tears one day. He's going to wipe away all those tears. I believe it's right after the white throne judgment. And it's all going to be over. But you know what? At that sound of that trumpet, this fight with this flesh is going to be over. Amen. Some of the suffering we go through as fools. Amen. We go through things we don't need to sometimes. But if you get in the middle of something you didn't need and you turn to God, He can bring you through with a purpose anyway. He can give you something out of the storm you caused yourself. Amen? Amen. He's just good that way. We can have peace in times of suffering. Look at verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. We see prayer in times of suffering. Help from above in the middle of a storm because of somebody else's prayer. We talked about that in Sunday school a little bit, but isn't that a blessing? I mean, you're at your wit's end. You are spiritually crushed. You are going through, you feel like you're going through the devil's wood chipper, amen? And you feel like you're a tiny little bitty pieces in the middle of the floor, and you'll get a phone call, or you'll get a text, or you'll get an attaboy from somebody and say, hey, keep on keeping on. We're praying for you. And a lot of times it's somebody you haven't heard from in 6, 8 months, maybe a year. And hey, you've been on my heart a lot the last few days. I'm praying for you. I had somebody call here. Well, it was Brother Earl actually. He called me up and he said, how's Brother Jim doing? He said, I've been thinking about him a lot the last few days. Amen. Because God does that. He works that stuff out. You find somebody that's sensitive to the Spirit of God and somebody that's a child of God that's going through something. And if that person's sensitive, and God will call out to him and he'll say, hey, I want you to pray for this person right here. And not only that, don't just pray for him. I want you to let him know you're praying for him. Amen. And then that person will pray, and that person will get down through the line. He'll get that message back to that person he's praying for him, and it just works things out. God does that. This stuff isn't accidental. You'd have more faith thinking that was accidental than thinking this world accidentally come into existence. Amen. And that takes some faith. But God does that stuff. Prayer in the time of suffering. And not only is it good to pray for others and to have others praying for you and to know they're praying for you, but to have the ability to go to God Himself In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and pray for each other. Amen. And pray for each other. We talked about that in Sunday school. I mentioned that because some folks didn't make it to Sunday school. But here's the thing. Prayer is part of your ministry. Prayer is part of our ministry. And prayer takes oftentimes more sacrifice than reading your Bible. It's more of a battle between the flesh and the time and everything else and the devil to get down on your knees and pray than it is to read 10 chapters out of the book of Genesis. Because when you read 10 chapters, you know, the devil, he'll sit down there with you and read it. He might whisper something in your ear every now and again, but you get on your knees to pray, and he'll get right down there beside you, and he'll pump your head full of junk. He'll have somebody else text you. He'll have somebody you haven't heard of. Hey, you know, God does it, and the devil does it. God will have somebody text you haven't heard of in a year to help you out. The devil has something happen in the middle of a prayer, you know, your cell phone going off. Sure, turn your ringers off, amen, when you pray. But something will happen right before you get down to pray. Something will happen, or you'll get down there and pray. The dog barks. The dog knocks something off the stove. The furnace starts making a weird noise. I mean, just anything to get your mind off of praying. Anything to get you from getting a hold of God for somebody else. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's not just about getting a hold of Him for us. I mean, we're in a good church here. I believe that wholeheartedly. But a good church has problems. Amen. I believe we're in a good church because I believe people are getting a hold of you when you're getting of God for you when you're getting a hold of God for them. But that's our ministry. That's our ministry. Prayer in times of suffering. When folks are pressed out of measure, above strength and despair and even of life, we can and should be praying for each other. You know, a lot of times we don't even know what's going on. We talked about that a little bit. We don't have a clue what's going on with other people. You ever get somebody on your heart one day? You're just riding the lawnmower or in the grocery store. Not riding the lawnmower in the grocery store, hopefully, but you're riding the lawnmower or in the grocery store. If you're riding your lawnmower in the grocery store, you need to get right, amen. That's just. But if you're riding your lawnmower and you're cutting your grass or you're walking through the grocery store or you're putting gas in your car or whatever, and bam, somebody come to your mind. I'm thinking, oh, Jeff Rose, I haven't thought of him in 6 months. There's probably a reason, amen. It's not just you shook your head and that name fell out. If you're praying and reading your Bible and doing what you're supposed to do, God puts those things in there. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to you. You might just give them a call. Oh, I'm busy. Well, what if they're too busy to call on God when you need help? Amen? That scares me. I don't want to be too busy. I don't want to be too busy to try to be a blessing to somebody else. I don't want to be too busy to pray for somebody else. And you know, we can get a list going. Amen? Sometimes it can be an overwhelming list. I get down to pray, and then I get a phone call or a text from my sister. And then she got four or five other things going on. And it's hard to, from the heart, pray for everything all at once. Honestly. I mean, you've got six or seven things that the Lord's really burdened you about, and then you get a couple other things going on, and it just kind of, you got to try to spread that burden out and pray. Praying's difficult, but it's a ministry. It's a ministry. Prayer in times of suffering. 18 through 20, we see the promises of God. He says, the promises in Christ aren't all nay, they're all yea. If God tells you something, it's a yes. It's going to happen. Amen? That's encouraging. No matter what storm you're going through, we talked about this earlier about the rapture, no matter what storm you're going through, how bad it gets in this world, God has given you a promise. You've trusted Christ your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. Amen? No matter how the storms get here, no matter how the suffering gets here, we've got a promise from God, and His promises are always yea. They always come true. God does not go back on His word. He doesn't change His mind to decide, well, I promised you one thing, but I'm going to give you something else. He tells you what He's going to give you, and He comes through. And He's given us eternal life, and He's given us a desire for the blessed hope, and one of the day the blessed hope, Jesus Christ, is going to come back, and we're getting out of here. Amen. Promises of God. Look at 21 and 22. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God. Amen. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We have the promises of God, now we see the protection of God. God is the one that establishes us. And if He's doing it, He's doing it right. And He's also given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. He has sealed us. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So no matter what happens, no matter what kind of suffering, what kind of storm, even if it's your fault the storm's happening, even if you're in suffering as a fool that you brought on yourself, if you're saved, you're still sealed and you're still going to heaven, amen? There's some peace about knowing that God has you. You are in the Father's hand. He took you out of the jaws of the devil and placed you in the hand of the Father at salvation. Now look, a lion's got some pretty good jaw pressure. Amen? I don't want to fight with no lion. But we got the lion of the tribe of Judah on our side. And God is able to break the jaws of that lion open and pull the lost out, save their soul, and place them in His hand. And who can pluck you out of the Father's hand? No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Isn't that good to know? The promises of God, the protection of God, the devil can do anything he wants to do, just like he did to Job, and God says, don't worry, Job, I've got you. The thing is, the devil wants to wear you down, and he wants to take you from being like Job to make you like Jonah. Amen. We got a lot of Jonahs running around. We got some part-time Jobs running around. But the devil, once he finds out you're more like Job, his goal is to turn you into Jonah. And that's why you see empty seats sometimes. Because a lot of folks started out like Job, but then they done it in their own strength. Or maybe their friends were a big help like Job's friends and they quit. Amen. I say that tongue-in-cheek sarcastically because Job's friends all but destroyed Job, starting out wanting to help him. When what they should have done was said, hey, we're here for you and we're praying for you. If you need anything, let me know. But they didn't. They decided that they knew better than God and they were going to tell Job what his problem was. But the devil doesn't want you to be like Job. He wants you to be like Jonah. Look at us in verse 23 here. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. But I determined this in myself, with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. You go all the way down through there and you get to verse 10 of chapter number 2, talking about forgiveness. To whom you forgive anything, I forgave also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Looking at us and in chapter number 1, verse 23, all the way through chapter 2 to verse 10, we see the potential to harm. And that's what Paul's talking about. He said, I didn't come to you, I wrote you a letter. Because you couldn't handle it if I went to you. You know what the difference between going to somebody and writing them a letter? Sometimes it's good to write a letter, amen? You've got to be careful with that send button on your phone, though. You might want to reword some of that. And don't do the voice thing, because who knows what's going to come out. But sometimes writing down things is better than saying things. Because when you say things, they just come out sometimes. You can edit what you write, but it's hard to pull back in what you say, amen? Paul said, I'm writing this to you because if I come stood against you face to face, it would probably harm you instead of help you. And I want to be a blessing to you. The potential to harm, no mercy and no grace leads to injuring people. It does. And isn't it strange that here in the church age, the age of mercy and grace, if there ever was an age of mercy and grace, we're right in the middle of it and people have trouble with mercy and grace. Saved people have trouble with mercy and grace. And that's what Paul said. He said, I want to be merciful to you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to be real heavy. I just want to write you a letter telling you I love you. And I want to encourage you. And I want to tell you about my suffering. You're not alone in this. We're all going through it together. And he said, I want to tell you that I realize we're all suffering. And he said, praying. I'm praying for you. I thank you for praying for me. He says, but I did everything I can. I try not to hurt you. That should be our heart. Our heart should not be at first to destroy. It should be to restore. When somebody's going the wrong direction, we should want them turned around. And honestly, if you're in the will of God and you're loving like God wants you to love, you're doing what God's called you to do, and you're not caught up in some sin yourself, you know what will happen? You will love people like God wants you to love them. But usually, the way people are, born again, blood bought believers, is blood bought born again believers will be out of God's will, stuck in some sin. They'll see somebody else crash and burn, and it'll make them happy that they're not alone. There's somebody else off in the ditch. It's not just me. When the truth is, if you're in the will of God, you're going to get a hold of God, and you're going to fervently seek His face for them to get back on track. Because when you're in God's will, it's all about Jesus Christ. When you're out of God's will, it's all about you. Comparing yourselves among themselves, they're not wise. Misery loves company. If we're not careful, look what he says in verse number 2 of chapter 2. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? If we're not careful, we'll injure somebody that God's using to help us. We'll injure somebody that God has used. We'll injure somebody that God intends to use. You ever wonder some of the folks that are out of the race, what God would be doing with them to be a blessing to those that are still in the race if they were in the race? Think about that. Paul didn't want to harm them. But the devil does. He wants to attack. He wants to get to them. He wants to destroy a brother and sister in Christ. And see, the thing is, we can destroy a brother or sister in Christ by not understanding that this is a spiritual battle. And sometimes people do and say things because the devil is using them. You know, you remember Desert Storm? Remember all that? Remember the different wars overseas and how the enemy would, they'd start a fight and they'd hide behind the civilians. They'd put women and children in front of them. And they'd fight and hide in their houses and stuff. That's the kind of stuff the devil does. He'll attack you through a brother or sister in Christ. And you can't get to the devil. So instead, you'll take it personal and destroy a brother or sister in Christ. Not realizing that that brother or sister in Christ is a victim of the devil. Because of their pride or whatever issues they have. And we all have the same potential to be used of the devil to hurt each other. And we can't get to the devil, but we can sure get to that person. And if we're not careful, we'll destroy that person. Or we'll destroy their ability to get right with God. And the devil done the whole thing. Amen. You don't raise your hand, but honestly, in here, everybody in here has probably been using the devil to hurt somebody at one time or another. Husband and wife. Wife, husband. Amen. Brother, sister in Christ. Friend. See, we don't see things God's way. If we learn to love God's way, we can see things God's way. And esteem others better than self. And give each other some slack. Give each other, not slack to hang themselves, amen, but give them a chance to get right. The potential to do harm, not showing mercy and grace, by not being careful and understanding what's actually going on. This battle is a spiritual battle. And to do harm through unforgiveness. He goes down through these verses and he's talking about forgiving. And he's saying in verse 7, so that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. He's talking about forgiving somebody so they don't get destroyed. And unforgiveness will eventually harm others and yourself. That seed of unforgiveness leads to the root of bitterness, and it produces the fruit of bitterness. And that's the devil's fruit. The devil's fruit is destruction. God's fruit is eternal life and growth, spiritual growth. But bitterness will lead to spiritual destruction. We have to be careful with that stuff. The potential for harm. In verse 11 it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We see the program of the enemy, and the program of the enemy is simply to destroy. God wants you to have life, wants you to have life, abundant life, more abundantly. But the devil's job, his purpose, is to destroy. How? Through pride, through pride. He knows all about pride. Going against God's will. King Saul learned about that. He knew God's will, and he wanted Saul's will instead. And if you do that, the devil can destroy you. He did Saul. He got King Saul. God's anointed. God's man. God put his hand on Saul. God put him in a position. Saul made a decision to go with his pride instead of the truth, and it destroyed Saul. Going against God's timing. Peter swinging the sword in the garden, chopping Malchus's ear off because, it wasn't time for judgment. It was time for mercy and grace. Amen. Jesus Christ was walking this earth. He didn't come to judge. He came to save. And Peter comes out there and he says, I'll just whack his head off. And that guy ducks his head, chops his ear off. And that's what we get sometimes. We can be destroyed by our own pride, and we can destroy others by our own pride because we decide that it should be judgment instead of mercy and grace. That's what Peter did. And you know what Jesus Christ did? The guy that was coming to take him, to kill him, to crucify him, Peter chops his ear off, and Jesus Christ heals him. Isn't that something? But going against God's timing. Oh, God will judge. That's why he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God will judge. Our job is to dump out mercy and grace. Amen. Now, I'm not saying judge not like the flaky crowd says. Judge not, anything goes, I'm not saying that. He is a spiritual judge of all things. I'm talking about not judging each other worthy of damnation or judging each other worthy of having our heads chopped off. We should judge actions. That's how things stay clean. You judge what's wrong, get rid of it. You judge what's right, keep going with it. But the devil wants to destroy, to get you to go against God's will, to go against God's timing, go against God's people. That never ended well in the Old Testament, and it's not going to end well in the church age, going against God's people. Even if God's people go against God's people, amen, it's not going to end well for the people against God's people, amen. Because God loves his people. He loves his children. Going against God's word. This world is practically set up on autopilot, 180 degrees opposition to the truth. Because the truth is light. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And here we are in 2021. And honestly, I'm not going to say most, but a lot of Christians, they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I mean, they're saved. I take back the Christian part. They're saved, but they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They just soon stay in the dark because the light exposes their deeds, and they like their deeds. They love their sin more than they love their Savior, and they're not willing to get right. They're not willing to let go of that thing, and they'll get out. They'll quit. They can't justify their sin with the truth, so they'll try to justify getting out. Well, I don't like that person. I don't like that preacher. I don't like what he said. I don't like the way they pulled in the parking lot. I don't like them sitting in my seat. I don't like. We laugh about this stuff, but that's true. They're looking the way to justify getting out. That way they can go off and sin and try to be happy, if you will. They're not looking to get right. They're looking to justify their sin, and they can't justify their sin in face of the truth, so they want to justify leaving the truth. And they can go home and sit and drink booze on Sunday instead of going to church. They can go fishing on Wednesday night instead of Bible study or preaching. They can do what they want to do then. Because the truth is, men love sin more than they love the Savior. A lot of saved folks. Amen. So I can't believe I hurt them. I don't want to try to hurt anybody. I want to try to be a blessing to people and keep them in. But I'm telling you what, when people get hurt over little things, it's not the little things that hurt them. It's their sin that's hurting them. They don't want to let go of it, and they're looking for a reason to quit. I can give you a list of reasons to quit, but it ain't because somebody sat in your seat. Amen? But they're not valid reasons either. I can give you a list of reasons to quit sinning. Amen? But to quit on God? You can't justify that. But people want to. And they can't justify it with God. Oh, God done me wrong. I've heard that. I don't believe any of that. Oh, God done me wrong. Well, usually it's a brother or sister in Christ that done them wrong. And usually it's something so small, something so trivial, and the person they accuse of it, it breaks them. Can't believe I just wouldn't have sat in their seat. If I wouldn't have done that, if I'd apologized, if I'd have shook their hand, if I'd have done this, and the truth is they were leaving anyway. They were just looking for somebody, and you're the scapegoat. But it'll mess you up. You got to realize the battle. When people quit, they quit spiritually a long time before they quit physically. They're just looking for a reason to quit going and doing the physical parts of it. Amen. Because spiritually they've been out for a long time. That's why we need to be praying for each other. Pride will take you out. Destroyed by pride. Destroyed by problems. Just everyday life. And boy, I'll tell you what, it gets pretty heavy, doesn't it? I mean, let's just, I'm not saying this as a preacher, saying this is what you should do, but just take your mind for a minute and just forget the spiritual part of it and think about the physical part of it. Life can be overwhelming. There's just so much going on. The devil will destroy you by pride. He will destroy you, try to destroy you with problems. You know the story of the straw that broke the camel's back. That saying, the last straw. The reason those are sayings is because it's not the last straw. It's the last straw added to the other 400 straws. The straw that broke the camel's back was not the last one. It was it joining up to the other 5,000. And that's what the devil tries to do with your life. He'll try to load you down with these little burdens and load you down with these little deeds that you need to do and all these things that you're... And if we're not careful, we'll load ourselves down with a bunch of extra stuff that we don't need to be bogged down in. We'll put ourselves out if we're not careful because we'll get so busy in stuff that we'll forget about God. We'll forget about our relationship and our needs, our spiritual needs. Too busy to go to church, too busy to read the Bible, too busy to pray, too busy to call a brother or sister in Christ, too busy to do this, too busy to do that. And all the time we're focused on the things of the world, thinking about how carnal people are when they're loading their wagon with the silver and gold, and we've loaded our own wagon up with stuff that isn't even as worthy as silver and gold. Amen. We'll just load ourselves up with things to do. Destroy people by pride. He'll try to destroy people with problems. The devil will try to destroy people with their past. Even things done before salvation, because that's the way he works. Things done before salvation that you have no control over, you didn't know any better about half of it, you were just doing what you did, lost and on your way to hell, you get saved, God forgave all that stuff, the devil keeps bringing it up over and over and over. That's some of the stuff he'll bring up when you're praying. Oh, Lord, help brother so-and-so. Lord, be with sister so-and-so. Lord, give them strength, give them that. And the devil's like, man, you think God's listening to you? Think about what you used to do. God don't want to hear from you. He'll try to destroy you with things from the past. Things done after salvation. Amen. Things you got under the blood that are forgiven but not forgotten. You see, he'll tell you, oh yeah, the Lord forgave you, but. No, the Lord doesn't forgive you, but. Amen. He forgave you. When he forgives you, but, he takes you home. He just forgave you. And he wants you to go on for him. Forgiven but not forgotten. I'm not telling you to forget everything. Learn from some things in the past, amen? This is where I don't want to go again. This is the path I took to get where I didn't want to be, amen? Remember some of that stuff. But don't forget that it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. When you get it right, because that's what he wants to do, destroy you. He wants to destroy you. Broken down, bogged down, beaten down. The devil, he wants to break and beat down people and bog them down. God will break you down so he can rebuild you in Christ. That's part of the plan. That's God's plan, amen. He'll let the devil break you down and God will rebuild you in Christ, just like he did Job. He rebuilt Job, made him better than he was before. That's what he wants from all of us. And the devil will bog you down in the things of this world. The devil will beat you down to destroy you. And he'll oftentimes use sins from the past. You know, David had some issues with his present because of his past. Do you know, David was called by God a man after his own heart. David was king over Israel, remained king over Israel after his great sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. Jesus Christ is going to come back and rule and reign on the throne of David. See, David was forgiven, but David still had some problems. You know what David remembered from his past? See, David made a terrible mistake. He gave the enemy ammunition. When you're in a battle, you get a military supply line, you don't want to supply food and ammunition for the enemy. You want it to come on your side so you can keep fighting the battle. You want the enemy to get weaker. David gave the enemy ammunition. Think about all the things David had. Think about the mess David had in his life. His sons were perverted, messed up messes. Solomon was a mess. Amnon, a mess. Absalom, a mess. One of them messing around with his sister. The other one trying to steal the kingdom from his dad. They were a mess. You know what happened, I believe? The devil kept saying, yeah, remember what you did? Oh, okay. So maybe I'll just be lighter on the boys because I was a sinner too. And he let him get away with so much. You read Solomon was a spoiled brat. That's what Ecclesiastes is all about. He was a spoiled brat. He couldn't say no to himself. He gave himself every single thing he wanted. He was a spoiled brat because the devil had all this ammunition from David's past, and he didn't use it directly on Solomon. He used it on David. And David raised a spoiled brat. And then here comes Amnon. Lusting after his sister. You think that didn't break David's heart? And David's sitting there the whole time, shaking his head, thinking about his past, because he gave the devil ammunition. Here comes Absalom, going to take the kingdom. And Absalom comes along with his sweet hairdo, and everybody's looking at him. He's this handsome guy. He's this smooth talker, and he's talking to all David's people, saying, follow me, I'll be a good man for you, I'll be the man. You know, he's stealing David's people away from him, and David's sitting there shaking his head. They come and tell David what Absalom's doing. You know what David does? Well, probably deserve this because of what I've done in the past. David already was promised a throne. A lineage that was not going to end on that throne. And the devil keeps whispering in his ear, remember your past. I'm telling you that for these young folks. If you're in here and you're under 30 years old, don't give the enemy ammunition. That little sin that you allow yourself to get caught up in today, the devil will use for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years to mess you up, and he will target your children, your family, through you. The devil didn't come straight on and attack David's kids. He attacked David over and over and over and over again. And his kids paid a price for it. The kingdom paid a price for it. Aren't you glad God forgives? David paid a price already. Remember when Nathan came to David? David said, oh, that man's surely going to die. And he said, you're the man. David didn't die. The baby did. But you know what the fruit of that sin was? Think about this. Solomon was the son of Bathsheba. And look at the fruit that that sin produced. Even though David paid a price, bad fruit from a bad decision. Amnon, Absalom. Bad fruit from bad decisions. Mostly because they give the devil, he gave the devil all that ammunition to use on him. We were talking in the church. I used to be on a security team up at church, and we're talking about ammunition and how much ammunition you should have. You know, 5-shot revolver is one thing if you're at home, but if you're defending 300 people and you don't know who's going to come in and do something flaky, we talked about having plenty of ammunition. Part of the requirements was having a certain amount of ammunition and another magazine, at least one magazine, because you don't want to go out, you know, fight with less ammunition than the enemy. Well, I'll tell you what, the devil's got all kinds of ammunition right now. He doesn't need any help, amen? Here's our ammunition. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Suffering. There's a cause. Oftentimes it's the devil. There's a purpose. God oftentimes allows it so we can draw closer to Him. And God allows it, may even cause it once in a while, so we can get to know Him and minister to one another. But there's always an opportunity to have peace in times of suffering. If we don't trust in self, we trust in the Savior. And if we look for the nugget that God wants us to have coming through it. All right, Lord, what is this supposed to teach me? I know this is going to help me help somebody else by your mercy and grace. I know it'll help that, but what am I supposed to learn? How am I going to come through this suffering and be more like you? Show me. Show me. I don't want to waste this. I want you to show me so I can give whatever it is you want me to have back to you. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you're just going through something and the devil's telling you, oh, it's your fault. You done this, you done that, you done the other. Remember way back when? Sowing and reaping. Hey, the devil knows the Bible better than you ever will. And he'll use the Bible against you. He'll use it against us. The truth is, get it under the blood of Jesus Christ and go on for Jesus. Go on for the Lord.